I'd like to start by making a couple of general comments about the collection of books that was in the original holdings of the library. The first is that there are a substantial number of mathematical and astronomical books. I find that interesting. The second is that the books come in roughly three classes. The first is that they are a set of books that are absolute classics in the field. One of them shown here, and that's the book on celestial mechanics by Laplace, written in 1796, that is roughly 30 or 40 years before the college was founded. Another example is the theory of capillary action, which is shown also in the case. So those are books that any research institution in the world would want to have on their shelves. The second category of books is almost at the opposite end of the spectrum, and that is books that are more or less popular in nature. These are books that would correspond, for instance, to the writings of a Carl Sagan or Stephen Hawking's The Brief History of Time, things that would be read or intended to be read primarily by the general public. And that includes Mrs. Somerville's book, which is indicated here, or shown here, and also a book by Keel, which is displayed. It's a considerably earlier one, written in 1721. But again, examples of books intended for the intelligent layperson rather than theoretical treatises. Closer to home is the textbook, for that's essentially what it is, written by John Gummery, a president of the college and a fairly well-known astronomer. Indeed, right outside the entry ramp to the library, you'll find a stone pillar with what should be a sundial, marking the spot of John Gummery's original observatory, the one that preceded the 1851 building. And this is basically a textbook, and it's designed to be fairly practical in nature. There's a first part that deals essentially with the theory of astronomy, if you want to call it that. And by astronomy, Gummery largely means motions of the celestial bodies as seen from the Earth. So it's, in a sense, an old-fashioned kind of astronomy, but it's nicely laid out here. The second half of the book has to do with calculations, again, primarily of the positions of objects as seen from the surface of the Earth. And there's a lovely example of that done by a Haverford student, Robert Bourne Haynes, in the seventh month of 1844. And what he's doing is basically calculating 10 years in advance the properties of a partial eclipse of the sun, scheduled for May of 1854. And what's shown in the display are some of his calculations. And it's a rather daunting set of numbers and calculations, which results, at the bottom of the page here, in the appearance of the eclipse. This is what the eclipse would look like as seen from Haverford. Most of the sun is eclipsed, covered up. But current Haverford students might take a careful look at the level of mathematics that was being carried out by their predecessors 163 years ago.